When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
From the exhibitions,
we're talking about practice, man.
To the big dance,
the actual game when it matters.
Follow NCAA basketball here on Lincoln's ESPN FM 101.5, 1480 AM.
I mean, how silly is that?
You're tuned into the best damn Husker and NFL coverage on the radio.
We don't fly at 40,000 feet. We're not big picture group. They have work to do today.
You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
And if they focus on anything other than that, it's going to be a problem.
This is the Greggeth and Hook Show.
That's like a prerequisite to being at this level.
Welcome back into Greggeth and Hooks on Lincoln Sports Authority, ESPN FM 101.5, 1480. We have one Robin Washit from Chicago jumping on the phone with us. Washit, what's up, brother?
I made it. It's been a long morning, but I made it. I'm here.
How are you?
Tired. I had to wake up early, so I tried to go to bed early, but my wife was sick, and my daughter made sure that she was going to do everything in her power to make sure none of us got a good night's sleep, and she accomplished that feat tenfold. And so I'm running on fumes right now, so I'll try to bring the heat, but if I fall asleep mid-interview, it's not because of you guys. It's all me.
You are Robin Washit. You'll be great.
Yeah, first and foremost, you're Robin Washit. Secondly, our interviews are always so dumb. This will be fun.
This will
have
be
a great time. It'll be good.
Hooksy's you can't got, sleep because you'll miss something.
No, Hooksy's got something for you, though. He's been fired up since the start of the show to compliment you.
I always look forward to the, you know, what to look for articles from you, which are always awesome. I think you spent a lot of time on this. It might be your best work yet because the keys of the game to win, to victory, all hands on deck, match physicality, play with nothing to lose. How long did that take?
Yeah. I mean, what else do you say at this point? Like, we need find matchups for Johnny Trueblood.
Get Johnny Trueblood in the pick and pop situation. That could be one of them.
Yeah, create some actions for Justin Costello off the bench. Like,
there you go.
Hey. Hey,
get him some warm-ups.
What do you want to say about this one?
Let's get him some warm-ups before.
I will say this: you did come out with the positive side, and you got us winning this game.
Really?
Predicted the win.
Wow,
they're 2-point favorites today.
They are 2-point favorites. Hey, is there? I know.
It opened at 1.5. That means the line's moving up.
Oh, Nebraska people woke up and went, "Yes, bet."
Were you one of them, Bill?
No, I have not. Nope. You know, hey, of the game tonight, in all honesty, we've got obviously understaffed, undermanned, all that stuff coming out. They're only going to address, what, like 8 guys total or 7, whatever the number is.
8.
8, right? And 2 of those being walk-ons with Trueblood and Costello over there with everybody out. Rutgers coming to town. Obviously, Rutgers is playing well. They're a tough team. They've got a guy out, and then don't they have another guy suspended with a situation going on, which
domestic violence.
What kind of player was he, and what is his effect? Maybe that's where the line might be turning towards Nebraska a little bit.
Yeah, Rutgers is kind of going through their own series of issues right now. You know, they've lost 2 straight and looked really bad in the process coming into this thing. And I'm going to butcher his last name, but it's like it's Fame or
sure.
something like that.
I think that's right.
AIM.
I think you nailed it.
Anyway,
crushed it.
He's a 7-foot 3-point shooter, easily their best 3-point shooter, who was suspended from the team, kicked off the team, and might be deported back to Senegal because he had like 7 different charges of like sexual or domestic abuse and harassment and all sorts of stuff. So he's facing some issues. And so Rutgers is kind of, you know, they're dealing with some stuff on their own, which is probably, you know, part of why Nebraska's favored in this game. You know, they actually have some, for the first time in a long time, some positive momentum, and even the fact that they're suiting up eight guys, six of which are on scholarship, you know, they actually have some positivity going their way, whereas Rutgers seems to be, you know, falling apart more and more each day. And what's unique about this situation is it's the first game of the Big Ten tournament, right? So I've covered enough of these opening round games where there might be like 3,000 people in the United Center tonight for that first game. So it's going to be an empty arena, and it's going to be all about basically who wants it, you know, because both these teams really don't have a whole lot to play for. The winner moves on to play Maryland, who just is going to be a significantly more difficult challenge for both teams. And so, I mean, it's kind of one of those deals. I mean, they're neither of them really playing for postseason. And so, you know, it's all about this particular game and kind of which team wants it more. And it sounds cliche, but that's exactly what it is. I mean, you know, I think Nebraska, from a talent standpoint, even with all that they've lost, I still think their frontline talent is better than Rutgers. You know, Rutgers has some good players, but, you know, they play 10 different guys. And you play 10 different guys if you don't have a core group of studs. And so if James Palmer and Glenn Watson play the way they've been playing the past couple of games, if Isaiah Roby does what he does, and you're able to get, you know, some of the all-around production from the Tanner Borkarts, you know, Johnny Truebloods, obviously, you know, Brady Hyman's going to have to play more, you know, even Costello to an extent. And it's not just about, like, scoring points, but, like, making the winning hustle plays that those guys made against Iowa, chasing down defensive rebounds, you know, drawing fouls, you know, coming up with, you know, assists, and doing all the block shots, doing all the things that, you know, kind of were the difference ultimately in that game against Iowa. They're going to have to do all of that and then some tonight in order to survive for another game in the Big Ten tournament. But if they do, I think they have every chance to win it, and that's why the Vegas line is what it is right now.
All right, so because we won't talk to you for another week, I have to ask the harder question, which is, once this team does lose in this tournament, do you think it's a quick axe for Tim Miles, or do you think there is a chance that he and Bill Moose and whoever is above Bill Moose that's deciding if Miles stays or goes, do they all sit down and decide, you know, hey, maybe we keep him, maybe we don't?
Yeah, I would imagine. Obviously, depending on what happens tonight, we'll ultimately influence the final timing, but I think for sure at the very latest a move will be made by the end of the weekend, and that's not only because it's kind of a foregone conclusion about what's going to happen, but Nebraska needs to get rolling on this thing if they're going to make a decision. If they end up kind of turning the page on Miles, they need to get the next guy in here as quickly as possible, just because not only do you need, you know, to, you know, expedite this situation to begin with, given the recruiting period starting up here in April. I mean, you're talking about a complete roster overhaul facing this next coach, to where, I mean, you might be replacing 80 to 90% of your your production, you know, depending on who stays and
how hard is that?
You know, who doesn't?
How hard is it? Like, let's say you bring in a guy, and I'm making an assumption here, which is probably dumb of me to do. But the next coach is going to be someone who I think is a proven commodity, not a, you know, not a Tim Miles 7 years ago where he's worked his way up and he won a game at Colorado State, you know, in the tournament, and now he's coming to Nebraska. I think it's going to be a proven commodity. How hard is that if one of those coaches get here and all of a sudden they're having to look for transfers, they got to look for a lot of young players, and maybe they only keep three guys off the roster or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on who the guy is and what kind of connections they have, because not only are you going to lose a bunch of seniors, maybe Isaiah Roby, maybe some more underclassmen, kind of depending on where they fit in with this new staff, you're losing a good portion of your 2019 recruiting class, even, you know, a couple signees that are probably going to look elsewhere. And so you're pretty much going to be starting over from scratch in the truest sense of the phrase. And how long that takes? Yeah, I mean, if you got a coach that has kind of stuff lined up, and you know, was able to pull guys from either their current school or you know, work some connections that they might have elsewhere. That process can be a little bit easier, but to think that Nebraska is going to go from, you know, what they are right now to an immediate Big Ten contender as soon as next season, I think is probably some wishful thinking, just kind of given how much work needs to be done to overhaul this roster. And, you know, like I said, how fast it goes really depends on the guy they bring in. But, you know, certainly you're looking at least at a 2 or 3 year process before you finally get, you know, the not only starting lineup talent, but the depth that's going to be good enough to compete in the Big Ten Conference. So, I mean, this is not a short-term fix by any stretch. Maybe if they had some more, you know, younger talent coming back, it would be easier to, you know, pick up where they left off at the beginning of the year. But because they lose so much, and we still don't know how much actually they're going to lose, it's going to be a pretty daunting task at first, which is why they cannot prolong this thing any longer than necessary. They need to get a guy in place, get a staff set to be able to not only piece together, you know, a recruiting class for 2019, but also get the ball rolling on 2020 and beyond. Because with college basketball, it's different than football. I mean, the relationships are built with assistant coaches for years and years, and so, you know, that is something they need to start as soon as possible to make those future classes as good as they possibly can be. So this is not just a deal of, you know, how are they going to put a roster together for next year, but they need to, I mean, they're going to be behind, kind of like Scott Frost was when he took over with the future recruiting classes. And like you said, it usually takes about 2 to 3 cycles before you're fully caught up.
Hey, Robin, go back a few days to Sunday, and kind of twofold a little bit. Talk about what that was like to be there. Obviously, I was there, you were there. The improbable, what the probability was like, 0.6% in the last 44 seconds to win. Talk about how special that day, and maybe how it compares to no-sit Sunday, and then how much of that can be an influential part to the next guy that sees what the fan base is like and what the facilities are like here in Lincoln.
Yeah, I mean, that was from just the unique scenario part of it, you know, with the fact that the roster was what it was, you know, the fact that it was Iowa, there were a lot of Iowa fans in the arena, and then obviously the Tim Miles situation. You know, there were so many points in that game where Nebraska could have quit, and, you know, under previous teams, they probably would have quit. But to this team's credit, and, you know, to this coaching staff's credit, they had those guys ready to play. They were determined to win that game. And you saw that with just all of the little plays they made, especially in the second half and overtime when things looked extremely bleak, being down 16 points. To be able to make that kind of run in the final, you know, even minute of the game was about as crazy of a comeback as you'll ever see, especially given what the players that were on the floor doing it. No-sit Sunday's in a class of its own, in my opinion, but just all those layers considered, Sunday was a pretty – it was up there as far as home games that I've covered, just because of all the other factors and the emotions involved in that game. You know, after the coaching staff, you know, left the bench, they were in the hallway hugging, and, you know, tears were flowing and hugging each other's families and stuff like that. So it was about as unique of a scene as you're going to see. That, you know, this season being what it was, there was that much kind of joy and emotion and fight from a team that probably could have been on the other end of the spectrum in all three of those phases.
All right, Wash it. Landon Collins to Washington. What do you think?
I'm so mad he's staying in the division. Like, I knew that they were going to be able to keep him because they were going to tag him, and then he was going to, like, hold out and be a big scene. And then they weren't going to pay him that much money. The amount of money Washington gave him is so outrageous that I'm, like, not even mad. But, like, the one thing that they could have done, if they could have been more proactive and traded him, because apparently they were getting, like, offers for, like, a first-round pick back at the trade deadline last season. So that would have made it better, but I was still holding out hope that they'd franchise him. He'd just change his mind and stick it out, and one of my favorite players would stay on the team for another year.
All right, and then last night, obviously, Odell Beckham Jr. gets traded to the Browns. That team is either going to be a really fun team to watch on the field or a really fun team to watch implode. I don't know which.
I think it's going to be a train wreck.
Oh, dude, there's a lot of personalities on that squad. But
yes, there are.
But I do love me some Baker Mayfield. What do you think about Odell being gone? I spoiled it a little bit earlier because I know, being a good friend of yours, I know he was wearing on you a little bit towards the end.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so first of all, hasn't played a full season in 2 years. He put up some numbers, but they were like the most inconsequential stats of all time.
Yeah.
And the stuff that he just brought off the field was like so annoying. Like, you know, they were little things. He wasn't like going out and like getting arrested or anything like that, but you know, they have this big talk with the GM and they sign him to a big deal, and then the next thing he does is go to Spain and take a video of himself smoking blunts with strippers in a hotel room, you know. And then like the antics on the sideline where he's sitting there crying or like calling out the quarterback during games, or doing a impromptu one-on-one interview with Josina Anderson with Lil Wayne sitting by him, talking about how the Giants have a quarterback problem and that he's not happy in New York, like right in the middle of the season, like as if they didn't have enough problems. Like, you felt the need to go and do that. So that's why I say, like, good luck, Browns. Have fun keeping that guy happy, because as soon as things go bad, he's going to fake an injury and he's going to sit himself out and he's going to demand a huge contract extension. And you have a locker room that doesn't exactly have the most veteran established leadership in there.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how Kitchens handles this whole thing, because, you know, as we were talking about earlier on the show, he ends up getting the head coaching job by default because the people that were established, McCarthy, those guys that they brought in and told them they had to be saddled with Kitchens, they weren't having it. So it's going to be interesting, although I think that the talent is there on that offense. And then they brought in some good players on defense, too. So it'll be kind of something to watch with that Browns team. Also in that division, I think the arrow points down for the Ravens and the Steelers right now. So it's a good time for them to add all these pieces.
Yeah, I mean, they got the weapons, but there were a couple years ago when, you know, the Giants went and got Brandon Marshall and had Odell, Sterling Shepard, and Evan Ingram, and it looked like they were going to be the most potent passing game in the league, and they sucked. So, and keep in mind that the Giants got the Browns' best offensive lineman in that Olivier Vernon trade, too. So,
yep.
All seen what happens when you don't have an offensive line in the NFL. And we'll see. We'll see if those receivers even have the time to catch pass.
So, are you tanking for Tua, or are you super tanking for Trevor?
I have no idea what they're doing right now. I'm hearing stuff like they're going to like take a pass rusher at 6.
Uh-huh. Might as well.
And if they do that, I'm going to lose my mind.
They're tanking for either Tua or Trevor Lawrence. The 2 years, you know, you have to
wait. That doesn't make any sense, because they want to do the Chiefs plan where they draft their quarterback and let him sit for a year.
What if they're mucking it up for Martinez? Oh!
Oh, boy.
Stop it.
That's a yes. I think so.
You tease them.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we can approach that with we need to get a quarterback in the meantime.
Oh, my God. The I'll tell you right now, if Adrian Martinez ends up getting drafted in a couple years in the first round by the Giants, Washington's going to have baby number 2 on the way very shortly after that.
Done.
100%. 100%. That's a fact.
Yeah, it might be.
Uh-huh.
But in the meantime, I would rather them just get a quarterback. Like, go get a quarterback. Go get Haskins or whoever it is that's like.
Haskins, I
don't
think
David
he's
going to
be a good pro.
He'll be a good pro. I think he's going to be a good
pro. They're talking about taking David Jones at 17 with that Browns pick. And, no thanks.
No.
No. Like, I get, like, David Cutcliffe's, like, coached every Manning that's ever been born, but, like.
Yeah.
We need to move on. Try something different for once.
Oh, boy. I agree with you. All right, buddy. Well, hey, have fun in Chi-Town.
Let's go get one.
Call us when you get back, all right?
I will do.
By the way, I keep having boosters calling me, telling me that Nebraska's going to get Jay Wright.
Ooh, okay.
They keep saying that they're whining and dining him.
That'll be a home run hire.
Remember, I told you Willie J reported that 2 weeks ago.
I did. I heard that was, you guys were going to be, you were up front on that.
Yep.
He's taking this so seriously. Yeah, I love it. All right, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Robin.
There you go.
He took it.
We'll talk about this coming up here at the top of the hour.